Wait a minute, this sounds like rock and or roll.
Hello, welcome to Rock and or Roll. I'm your reluctant host, BJ. Well, Chris and Fistful of Dave are back with me this week. Last episode, we talked about Soul Asylum and how great they once were. This week, we're going to be talking about the Goo Goo Dolls and just how great the Goo Goo Dolls used to be. The Goo Goo Dolls formed in Buffalo, New York in 1986 as a hardcore punk band with pop-punk leanings. Their first self-titled album came out in 1987 on a small label called Mercenary Records. Then they signed with legendary LA indie label Metal Blade for the next two albums, two of my favorite albums ever, Jed in 1989 and Hold Me Up in 1990. They switched to Warner Brothers and toned things down a bit for Superstar Car Wash in 1993, and then came double platinum A Boy Named Goo in 1995. That was album number 5 for the Goo Goo Dolls. Had a top 10 hit called Name. You're going to hear us talk a lot about John and Robbie on this episode. That's the two main songwriters in the band. Guitarist vocalist John Resnick and bass player Robbie Tkach. If you think of the Goo Goo Dolls as a modern rock band or even an adult contemporary band, well, listen and learn. So the Goo Goo Dolls,
yes,
formed in Buffalo, New York in 1986. Weren't they supposedly originally called the Sex Maggots and then changed it to?
Yes.
And ditched the name.
And I know John Resnick says that they used the name for a gig and it just stuck. And he said if I had 5 more minutes, I would have thought of a better name, but they just ended up with that.
Then the Goo Goo Dolls or the Sex Maggots.
they were gonna change it. It was like close to being changed after Hold Me Up.
Yeah,
but then they did it.
So what, Superstar Car Wash, they were gonna change their name?
Yeah.
So their first album came out in 87,
And it's just a, what would you, it's not hardcore, just fast punk. And every song's sung by the bass player, Robbie. John doesn't sing any songs.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
And I don't really like that album very much.
Personally. I love that album.
The first one?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, here's the other thing with it. I saw them before I heard the record.
Right.
They opened for Gangrene at this tiny place in Milwaukee called the Yacht Rock. And they blew everybody away. They were unbelievably amazing live. It was, three-piece. It was amazing.
Living in a Hut's great.
Yeah, Living in a Hut is the one song I like, probably. Mercenary Records, what is that? Like their label or a local?
No, it was the label.
Celluloid was.
And then Celluloid picked it up after Mercenary. I think did distribution for it. And Celluloid was one of those weird, every once in a while you get some weird something that was on it. But they were both. Have,
like ska comps on Celluloid.
Yeah, they were like this weird fringe kind of thing.
Was Jed first released by Celluloid?
No, Jed, they got...
Or that was on Metal Blade? At first, right away, it was on Metal Blade?
Yeah.
And so that's 89, and to me, obviously, huge leap forward. But still, John only sings two songs on the album. It's still almost all Robbie.
I think you're going to see a trend here.
Yeah. But Jed is fucking great. I mean, Jed is fantastic. I love it.
I like Road to Salinas.
You know, here's one of the things, even if you guys don't like the first record, what I especially like about the first three is the records kind of go somewhere. There's kind of like it's almost like a story that they...
Like
you
a
know,
narrative, an overarching...
Yeah, there's kind of like a flow to it that's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That they're fun and...
Well, and they're just growing by leaps and bounds with each record. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you listen to the first record, and like these are obviously the first songs they wrote.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of tell with the...
Yeah, and how old were they when they made the first
album? That's the thing about the first record. They're the first songs every band wrote.
Yeah.
Except for better than most. Now, come on. Like, I heard a lot of first band stuff, but I think they're better than most. Or at least showed promise. How about that?
Well, yeah. So it, and John's two songs on Jet are Up Yours and James Dean, with her, which are both amazing. Up Yours, probably my favorite.
Up Yours, stop your whine, feeling swell, I'm doing fine. Yeah, fuck your suicide, it's all bullshit cause I tried, and it really don't impress me all that much. Up Yours, what'd you find? Sit right down, I got time, and you say it comes the end.
And James Dean is his, you know, his first acoustic ballad. So even back in this album, which is just a straight-ahead pop-punk album, he had an acoustic ballad on there already.
I think about all the really cool things I could do and say. And then you go and you tell me that you found out Dean was gay. No, I don't wanna be James Dean. I don't wanna be James Dean. I don't wanna be James Dean anymore.
Out of Sight is great.
Out of Sight's amazing.
The weird song for me is No Way Out, and it's probably my favorite song, and it should not work.
Yeah,
the
I love No Way Out.
The whole singing over each other doesn't really work, but it works for some reason. I love that song.
And of course, also we have the incredible Lance Diamond,
who
I was just reading about him. There's a Wikipedia page for Lance Diamond. He still plays in Buffalo.
Why wouldn't it be?
Robbie lived upstairs from him, which is how they met him. But he was probably like a fixture on like the Buffalo scene even then, I guess. And he does radio shows now and plays with a band, I think the 24 Karat Diamond Band.
Nice.
And so on this record, he sings Down on the Corner, which, and that's a pretty awkward cover.
You know what? But here's the thing. There's like a charm to it. It's like, that's what I was talking about, the flow of the record.
Charm for that.
Yeah.
Down.
It's just like, wow, this is great. It's like a cool party. And I think that's the other thing when you say it's a pop punk record. It is. But what sets it apart is like that and the acoustic thing. And there's just obviously, they have a different dimension than most, you know, than like whatever. Pick one. Big Drill Car, whatever, which is, you know, whatever. But if there's obviously a little more to what they're doing here.
Yeah, and they've got great vocals and just great hooks, great, really fun songwriting. I guess it's, you know, John Resnick was too shy to sing at first or something, but then obviously started coming out of his shell pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, so this album's 89, and then the next year we get Hold Me Up, which, you know, is astonishing to me. One of my favorite albums ever. And another album that is just amazing all the way through, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty
much the cover. This is by far their best thing they did.
Yeah, it's just, I mean,
this one.
I really, really love this album, Hold Me Up.
This one also gets one of the awards that I always think about myself. What is the best album with the worst cover? This album cover's horrible.
I like the cover. Just kidding.
It's like, oh shit, we don't have anything and it's got to go. Like, do that.
And, you know, I mean, for this to be on Metal Blade, it's very strange.
Metal Blade at this time, I think we're signing just a lot of different weird stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not that huge, because the whole, I think they got signed because of the punk thing, because they were doing Death Records, and, you know, there was DRI was on there, and COC was on there, so there's like a lot of heavier stuff, and I think that they just were, you know, grabbing onto the pop punk melodic end of stuff.
Well, and this record's produced by Armin John Petri or whatever, where if you look him up on AllMusic Guide, he had previously worked with Talus and the Rods and Manowar. Yep. And stuff like that.
Well, Talus makes sense because they're from Buffalo.
Yeah.
But it is amazing because it just sounds, I mean, all three records were done by that guy, the first three, but they obviously got more money for each one because each one sounded better. And I think that's part of what's good about these records, is the production is just raw, and, you know, there's like when we get the Superstar Car Wash, there's nobody with a freaking metronome or a click track saying, hey, play to this. Because it's just kind of all over the place, and it's just a fun record, I think.
And on this record, we get an even split between Robbie and John. They're each at 5.5 songs because they both sing on what, Hey. They switch off.
Yeah. Hey, so, oh my God, Hey is so good.
No. you know, pretty much every song, every song is great. You know, they've got the music, instrumental interlude there on the second side, but
I mean,
but
again,
that's fine. It's not bad.
And by Never Take the Place of Your Man is, I think, legitimately awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. Totally awesome. So yeah, so this is the Incredible Lance Diamond. We get the Incredible Lance Diamond killing it on this. I mean, this is wonderful.
I was gonna say, as great as Down on the Corner was, him like Never Take the Place of Your Man.
This
version is
just
perfect song.
Yeah, it's perfect
version.
It's great.
It's a great song. Of course, it's a print song from.
And I love that the Goo Goo Dolls are like the honorary Minneapolis band, you know, like so replacements-y and everything, and they do the Prince cover instead of like a replacements cover.
Yeah.
And so bringing up the Replacements, you see a really similar like trajectory here with the Goo Goo Dolls to where the Replacements went from the early punk and then just gradually the songwriting and the hooks and everything just grows stronger and stronger.
Dude, laughing. I'm just looking at these songs.
Yeah,
I'm
like, laughing.
Holy
is,
shit, dude. Like, this, amazing.
Know My Name is one of my favorites. Just killer.
You got me right.
Yeah, especially, I mean, John has a couple of songs in here that aren't incredibly great. All the Robbie songs are basically great.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean is maybe the worst song.
Yeah, it's still good.
Yeah, it's still good. And I love, like, Just the Way You Are and There You Are. I love those songs.
Yeah, those are great.
Thank you.
I really like the sequencing of the record, like Know What I Mean, Into the Out of the Red, the heavy song, and then Never Take a Play. I think that's great. And then you get Hey. I mean, even if it's not like Out of the Red and You Know What I Mean aren't the greatest, but I think it just the way it works together is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, putting Never Take the Place of Man at the end of the first side. The, you know, this album only came out on vinyl in France, I guess?
Really?
Yeah. So basically you can't get it on vinyl.
I know, I've been having a hard time.
Yeah, no, you can't get it.
Did I say how good Hey is?
Hey is the first song on side two. I mean, you've got Hey on your side, then you've got the instrumental, and then Know My Name. I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible.
And I prefer Million Miles Away to the original. And you can say whatever you want on that, but
I mean, it's great.
They do a great version.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. And then you've got the last song, John's Ballad, and absolutely love it. I love that song. Now, where did they record that song? Were they on the street or in a parking lot? Or
no, that was if I remember correctly, they opened the door to the studio.
Okay, you can hear cars driving by.
Yeah, I think they opened like the door to the studio and played it outside. Or
and he says what he says to the guy across the street. What does he say at the beginning? Dedicated to the guy across the street.
Oh yeah.
Dedicated to Chief Doug. Take 22, copy to one. And the guy across the street. I hung your picture on the wall, and that's all it is. I break my fingers to make a call, and that's all it is. I know you're living way out west, and I'll think that I confessed everything I feel. You say you got no faith in things that you can't see. Well, I'm sorry I ain't there with you, but you ain't here with me. I'm down in all my fears, but I ain't crying no tears over you. Everything's wrong. Well, it's alright. Everything's wrong. Well, it's alright. You said that this is crazy, you're half a world away. I'm sitting there thinking, but I didn't know what to say. So I said something I can't touch. I always want way too much anyway. 'Cause everything's wrong. Well, it's alright. Everything's wrong. Hung your picture on the wall, but that's all it is. I break my fingers to make a call, and that's all it is. I know you're living way out west. Don't get me wrong, I'm not impressed with you no
That is such an amazing song, though. I mean,
that is a great song.
I really love it.
I remember Scotty and I were in the front row at OK's when they were playing that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, you know, it's like, I hung your picture on the wall. That's all it is. I break my fingers to make a call. And we were like doing the, the hand gestures, like we were hanging a picture, we were making a phone call. And then, like either in the middle of the song, or no, it must have been after the song, he's like, hey, these guys are, like, doing, like, the Supremes, like, mimicking the lyrics thing.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got to see them at this point. I didn't see them until, Superstar Car Wash, I think, at the Barrymore.
Was that with Belly? Superstar Car Wash?
I did see them play with Belly, but not...
That was at the lakefront in
Milwaukee. Yeah, at Marcus Amphitheater, yeah.
No.
No? Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I was at that show. I was at that show with Belly, yeah.
I was I must have been coming... I think I was coming back from Thanksgiving, from going home for Thanksgiving to New York, or maybe Christmas, and coming back, and I was going to miss them with my airline ticket, and I traded tickets with another guy so I could come back to see the show.
The one at OK's?
I flew as John Wong. My ticket said John Wong.
John Wong was the name on your ticket?
Yeah. And he was Christopher Standish, so, you know, I don't know how that would see. I think it worked out for him, too, so.
I guess this was pre-9/11.
I was just going to say. So if in a post 9/11 world, I wouldn't have seen that Goo Goo Dolls show.
Now, I saw them a bunch because I saw them I think I saw them every tour through, at least once on every tour through Boy Named Goo, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the first time I saw them was at the Barrymore, the Barrymore Theater. So, and I think that was. Superstar Car Wash, I guess.
I kicked them to the curb when Superstar Car Wash came out.
So did I.
But you saw them.
Well, I went and saw them, but I figured they're going to play some old songs.
Right.
All right, well, so we all agree, Hold Me Up, one of the greatest albums ever, right?
I agree.
Right.
Full on. I would put it, I always say people still they'll talk shit about the Goo Goo Dolls, and I'm like, I will fight anyone.
Yeah.
Over the first three Goo Goo Dolls, I'll fucking punch you in the head because you're wrong. Anything after this has nothing to do with how awesome they were.
Right.
And I think it's just it's kind of a shame because they were great, but they, you know, ruined by the legacy of Iris or whatever.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at the list of bands that they've toured with over the last 10 years, it's fucking horrific. you know, Matchbox 20, Lifehouse. I was just their new tour with Daughtry. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's 50-year-old women that, you know, watch fucking American Idol or whatever and want to rock, think they're rocking out, or they're like, actually, Bon Jovi, Goo Goo Dolls is like the same crowd of, you know, 50-some-year-old women.
So they move over to Warner Brothers, but Metal Blade still has a piece of it. For their next album, and
right, yeah. So the deal here is, here's the weird. So at this time, Metal Blade had distribution deals for certain things through Warner Brothers. So there was already a relationship there, and the Goo Goo Dolls were desperately trying to get out because Metal Blade's contracts, and I don't know how they are anymore, but at this time, were notoriously just horribly one-sided,
right,
and bad. And I mean, the Goo Goo Dolls aren't the only ones that. Suffered from that, but they're desperately trying to get out of that.
All right, and so you guys didn't like Superstar Car Wash.
I'm going to bring up Metallica again. This is the Black Album. It's like, I'm like, there's some good songs on here, but this is so just polished and pretty and all the grit and the fun. Like the fun was all taken out of it, and it's just. And I listen to it now, and it's like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, it's a huge step down from Hold Me Up, but I still like it a lot. I like most of the songs. Robbie's songs especially are great on here, like Don't Worry and Domino.
Yeah.
I mean, Fallen Down's okay. And...
Fallen Down, I like. Oh, Lucky Star, that's another great Robbie song. 'Cause You're Gone is great. That's a John song. And then my favorite song on the record is the very last song, So Far Away. I love that song. I think that's really great. That's a John song.
String of Lies is all right.
It's all right.
I that's what I think of the whole record. It's like all right. It's like Falling Down. It's like all like not as good versions of stuff off of Hold Me Up.
Yeah, it's not even close to as good as Hold Me Up. I mean, there's no comparison.
And We Are the Normal is the first right of Iris, I think. I think he
We Are the Normal sucks. And yeah. he got Paul Westerberg to write the lyrics.
Yeah, that's the Westerberg one.
Yeah. That song sucks. It's terrible. And that was like the video with the push. By far the worst song on the record. And not really any good at all. It's still pretty... I mean, most of it is still pop punk, though. Definitely kind of neutered a little bit, but obviously not as neutered as they were going to get.
Well, but I think...
it was... It circumcised. This one was. They got neutered later on.
But Boy Named Who is actually, I think, heavier than this record. It's less.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's produced differently, but the songs aren't even close to as good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then, so the guy who produced this,
Gavin McKinnip. Yeah, who is that?
Well, he produced UFO Mechanics, engineered it, and what's the one after Mechanics?
I can't think of it right now.
Making Contact.
Oh, that's the one after Mechanics. Yeah, I was trying to think of the one after Making Contact.
And then he did Misdemeanor, and he did tons of, like, Hunters and Collectors, General Public, Shriekback.
Oh, shit, so there were, yeah, okay. I totally had the order of those UFO records. I wasn't remembering that those came after Mechanics.
Yeah, he did the Laws record, and then Toad the West Rocket and all that. The Church, Priest Equals Aurora. So it's all like the stuff he did before that. And I was like, and it never clicked before, but I'm like, why the hell do I know Gavin McKillop? And I'm like, oh, UFO, that's where I remember seeing it. So that's kind of an interesting fact. But those records are super glossy, too.
Well, so okay, so wasn't that UFO record on Metal Blade the one after Misdemeanor?
I think Misdemeanor was, but they weren't. Metal Blade just licensed that stuff.
I think it was the one after Misdemeanor.
That could be, but they were signed to an English label and it was just licensed.
Right, but that could possibly be the connection. Maybe he had a connection to Metal Blade, and that's how he ended up with them.
I think
or
it's
something.
More the. It was the. He did the Laws record before that. Yeah.
So I would say on this record, especially Domino and So Far Away are really great. Those two songs, Domino is a Robbie song and So Far Away is a John song. There's a lot of good songs in this album, in my opinion, but those two really stand out as being great. But they're like darker. That might be one thing about this record, is it's kind of darker than Hold Me Up. Just like a bleaker mood.
Yeah, they're not having any fun.
Yeah. I really like this album, but yeah, it's like if you're sitting there saying which album should I put on, Hold Me Up or Superstar Car Wash, you know, there's not like a lot of competition as to which one you're going to put on most of the time. But
I didn't have it for a long while, and then I found it for like 50 cents.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll take a listen to it again. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. It just doesn't have what I liked about the band. Like, they took all the stuff I liked about the band and then not as good songs and put out a record, and, you know, all in an attempt to be, you know, they obviously wanted to be big, so.
After Superstar Car Wash, which that's actually a real car wash in Buffalo, New York, the Superstar Car Wash that's on the cover, which that's a good, I like the album cover, but after that, their next album, A Boy Named Goo, really stupid album title.
Yes,
and I really like the first two songs, Long Way Down and Burning Up. The Long Way Down is John and Burning Up is Robbie. But after that, the album is pretty lame. It's not very good at all. And of course, you know what you don't have on Superstar Car Wash? Well, I guess We Are the Normal is the ballad, but it's not really the same kind of acoustic ballad that John was doing.
Name.
So then you get You get this ballad on. A Boy Named Goo, which compared to 2 Days in February, it's a complete joke, and yet this is the hit. So it just doesn't even have a hook at all. And, you know, 2 Days in February is so emotionally effective and just feels so honest. And this song just feels so forced and, you know, just not any good at all.
As I said before, I think this record sounds better.
I would say the production is better than Superstar Car Wash.
But
the songs aren't there, yeah.
Yeah, it's Lou Giordano. So. I was really excited for this record because I found out he was producing it. I'm like, okay, it's going to be, you know, back to where it was. But I just think they lost all the magic that was there.
Yeah, definitely. The magic is gone. On A Boy Named Goo. I like Long Way Down a lot. On Superstar Car Wash, the second song is a song called Lucky Star by Robbie. And then on A Boy Named Goo, the second song is a song called Burning Up by Robbie. Now, what do those two songs make you think of? Lucky Star and Burning Up.
Madonna song.
Madonna. Now, so is that a coincidence? That's what I've always wondered.
I have no idea.
Is that a coincidence? You know, Lucky Star, second song, it's a Robbie song. Burning Up, second song, it's a Robbie song. And they're both early Madonna hits.
Hmm.
And I always wondered if that was on purpose.
Save the grains of time I spent with you.
So, Chris, have you ever even listened to A Boy Named Goo? Or?
No.
Yeah.
Once, I think I did once. I actually, here's what, you know, Beach, you have, through the years have always been like, oh, you know, there's still lots of good stuff on each album and blah, blah, blah. So I was walking down the street and, you know, here in Brooklyn we have stoop sales instead of yard sales. And then at the end of the day, that you know, they have their box of CDs they're trying to sell that no one bought. So they just leave the box out there. So I'm walking by and I glance in these boxes because I can't not look at records, you know, yeah. Or CDs just to see what's in there. And there's Boy Named Goo. I'm like, all right, so I'll grab it. And I think I listened to it. But I don't remember. Like, it was okay.
it doesn't go anywhere after the first two songs. It just completely fizzles out. There's really not much worth listening to. But Burning Up is a great... you know, Robbie song, still pretty much a pop punk song.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get to their next album, the really horrible thing about their next album, Dizzy Up the Girl, is that Robbie's songs, they try to produce them the same way they're producing John's songs, and it just does not work at all. Because they're still written like a pop punk song, but they're recorded like a John Resnick song, and it just does not work. So Robbie's songs just suck. His songs were usually the best.
Right.
And by Dizzy Up the Girl, his songs just seem completely out of place on the record.
Yeah.
But I still think there's some really good songs on Dizzy Up the Girl.
Dude, I tried forcing my way through this pile of crap. Well, it didn't work. I don't think I made it all the way through. This makes Boy Named Goo like the greatest record ever. This is just bad. And this is the first record without George on drums. I mean, that's another...
Yeah, well, there's the whole controversy with him, which I don't know what to believe, but that was a pretty bitter breakup, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And this is produced by the Green Day guy, Rob Cavallo.
Yeah, fuck that guy, but... You know, I'm sure you guys hate Slide. I kind of like that song, all right. I don't think it's horrible. I like Broadway. I really like Black Balloon, which is the ballad.
Like I said, I tried listening to this, and I was just like, I can't do this.
I would say for this record, the two songs I really like are Black Balloon and the last song, Hate This Place, which that's a really good song. That's a good John song, and that's the only song in the record that really resembles more like the Superstar Car Wash sound.
Who knows where you've been?
So I would highly recommend checking out Hate This Place, which is the last song on here, because I think that's a really good song.
You're gonna tell me something's good on Gutterflower next, aren't you?
Yes, I love the first song on Gutterflower.
I knew he was going to say yes without even skipping a breath.
I love Big Machine. That's the first song of Gutterflower. I love that song. It's got a great chorus.
You know, Brian Cramp believes there's at least one good song on every album.
I bet you can't find one on that new fucking record.
No, the last good Goo Goo Dolls song is Big Machine, which is the first song on Gutterflower. So that tells you what I think of the rest of the album, because that's the last song worth listening to by the band. The rest of Gutterflower is terrible. And, any semblance, even on Big Machine, any resemblance to punk or anything like that is gone. Completely gone. It's just uninspired and heartless. And, if this was their first album, then I wouldn't have any problem with lumping them in with Matchbox 20.
That's exactly what they are at this point.
Yeah. I mean, they're still not as bad as Matchbox 20, but
I don't know. I don't know if you could argue that point to me.
I could just because if nothing else, because of the way that guy sings. With that fucking forced angst, cracking voice that just makes me want to fucking kill him.
All right.
I hate the way that style of singing that guy does. I just hate lumberjack vocals. What?
Yeah, that's
lumberjack vocals. That's what Steve Kester always called it.
Lumberjack vocals.
Mm-hmm. It's like he's singing like a lumberjack.
Just the forced angst. Mm-hmm. That's how I always describe it. Like this, just really fake emotion, which is horrendous to try to put across and be that transparent. But yeah, I think Big Machine is fucking great. I love that song. It's got like a really big chorus that just explodes. I love it. I wouldn't expect you guys to like it probably, if you compare it to Hold Me Up, it doesn't make much sense, but yeah, but then what their next album I think was Let Love In, which there's just no resemblance to what the Goo Goo Dolls were.
Supertramp cover, holy God, is it terrible?
Well, I love that. I love the Supertramp version of that song, but it's a pointless cover. Yeah,
it's like verboten. It's like exactly the same except for
yeah. Yeah. What is the point of covering a song if you're just going to try to make it sound exactly like the original? It doesn't. That's pointless.
Yeah, this This one, I think they're on par with Maroon 5 and Horribleness.
Yeah, I still wouldn't take it that far, but...
Oh, I would.
But, it's...
If not on this album, that new album, for sure. Oh.
Well, when I heard I've only heard the single from the new album, Rebel Beat, I think it's called. But yeah, that's the worst thing I've ever heard from them.
From the new album, Magnetic?
Yeah.
Have you heard it?
I've only heard Rebel Beat, and it's just horrible. It's easily the worst thing they've ever done.
Oh, it's possibly the worst thing any band's ever done. It's so bad.
Yeah.
Have you guys listened? So I'm just sitting here skipping ahead on Wikipedia because really, like I said, I kicked them to the curb when Superstar Car Wash came out. But apparently on the Goo Goo Dolls Volume 2, covers?
That's the greatest. They put out a second greatest hits thing that was like B-sides and stuff, yeah.
Right. So they covered The Damned, Wait for the Blackout?
Yeah, I've never heard it.
I want to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good cover to do, yeah.
That's one of my favorite Damn songs.
Well, you know, on one of those, they have a studio version of 2 Days in February, which is not, there's no point in listening to that.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. It'd be interesting, though, to hear.
Yeah, it's not as good. Well, just because it's hard when you've heard the original so many times to want to hear a different take on it. I don't know. And I'm not sure when it was recorded, the studio version. It might have been like a recent thing that they did in that period. I don't know. I don't remember. But
like, hey guys, we keep having hits with these ballads, but they
yeah.
Let's try and have a hit with that ballad. Oh, when we try and record it right, we just ruin it. Okay, well, they have the good sense to realize that.
Oh my God, they do. I Want to Destroy You on that too.
Yeah. And they do Don't Change by INXS. INXS's only good song.
Oh, yeah. They did that when I saw them live.
Oh,
that
really?
That was great, yeah.
That's a great song. I'll bet they do that.
That's an amazing song, but it's not the only good INXS song. Don't Change is by far the best INXS song. I mean, what a great cover to do, yeah.
Is it the only great INXS
song? What?
It's the only great INXS song.
Yeah, okay. I could roll with that. I mean, it's a million times better than the next best INXS song, but
right, exactly.
Yeah, they did that when I saw them at the Barrymore. I remember it was really great.
It's a million times better than the next best INXS song. Exactly, precisely.
We'll be right back.
So with the Goo Goo Dolls, do you think probably the majority of people thought A Boy Named Goo was their debut album? I mean, they're another band that are primarily known by almost everyone for their worst instead of the best.
Right.
Well, they do have on the there's like songs from the first record that are even on those best of comps. Yeah. I want to say Torn Apart is on one of them.
But to think that they're just put into the same box as Matchbox 20 and Maroon 5 is how incredible Hold Me Up is, that is just a travesty. And it's partially their own fault.
A travesty of their own making.
Yeah. But it drives me nuts to even think that if you say to somebody the Goo Goo Dolls were amazing, they would be thinking you like Matchbox 20 and Maroon 5. You know what I mean?
It's a different audience, though. It's just such a different. Their pitches are such a different set of people than they were. That it's, they'd probably be appalled by how fast Hold Me Up is. So,
the thing is, the guys in the Goo Goo Dolls know better. You know, Matchbox 20, that's all they're good for. They don't know any better. They don't have any talent. You know.
Yeah,
and the guys
so.
In the Goo Goo Dolls, incredibly talented, and they know. They but must once, know themselves that some of this is shit.
But once you make the decision that you're going to make money, you continue with those decisions. Yeah. And, you know, when, Iris or whatever the heck, whichever one of those songs is the hit, that's the direction you go. What do those people want?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even talk about Iris, which was between A Boy Named Goo and... And Dizzy Up the Girl, and that was their biggest song of any song.
Yeah.
It was from that City of Angels soundtrack, and that song's terrible.
But once that was popular, I mean, then by far, for them, way more popular, that's the direction they're going to go. They always wanted to make money. I mean, that was, you know, fairly obvious by Hold Me Up, that they want to be successful, the whole thing with Metal Blade, and not that the Metal Blade deal was, you know, not that that was a good deal for them at all, but it was definitely like, hey, we need to make money. How are we going to make money doing this?
And you can't blame them for wanting to have a career and not go back to bartending or whatever the
True,
fuck.
Right.
So, but, like I said, they know better, whereas, basically, you have to have some, I think a lot of songwriting, you're just born with a gift or a talent. And there are a lot of people out there who don't have the gift but are still writing songs, like Matchbox 20. And they just shouldn't be writing songs because they don't have that gift. They don't have the gift you need to start with and build upon.
Yeah, I always have there's the whole theory of, you know, it's like, be careful what you wish for, because when the stuff you like gets popular, it sucks too. I mean, you know, you just have knuckleheads that are showing up at, you start getting, Nirvana's a good example. Like, you know, it was like, whatever, with the people who knew that were there, and then they got popular, and it was every knucklehead and frat boy that you could find would be showing up at the show. So it's like, do you want that, or do you want your band, you know, so.
Yeah, well, Kurt Cobain killed himself instead of putting out Gutter Flower.
That should be the title of this one. The title of this podcast. Kurt Cobain killed himself instead of putting out Gutter Flower. But I will say, whatever they've done since, Hold Me Up makes up for any transgressions as far as I'm concerned. So,
well, and obviously there's always the Replacements comparison, but that really only applies to John's songs. Those early albums, John's songs were good, but Robbie's songs were the best.
Yeah.
Pop punk songs.
Well, and the Replacements thing is only maybe up to A Boy Named Goo. After that, they're some weird modern rock, mom rock thing. So.
Yeah, yeah, modern rock, whatever the fuck that means. That's what they became. We'll be right back.
to that hole in your life. You're not thinking about tomorrow, 'cause you were the same as me.
Alright, so that's going to do it for this episode about the Goo Goo Dolls. I hope that you enjoyed this sort of a two-parter that I did with Chris and Dave about Soul Asylum and then the Goo Goo Dolls. If you got into Soul Asylum and the Goo Goo Dolls because of these episodes, or if you appreciate them more now, or if any other comments you have, let me know. Go to the Facebook page, send me a message, or post right on the page. If you go to the blog, rockandorrollpodcast.blogspot.com, there are links there for a lot of different things, and the email address. Let me know what you thought of these two episodes. I'd like to hear your opinions. And now, to play us out.
What does that mean, to play us out? I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean? To end the show?
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you with the very first song from that 1990 album by the Goo Goo Dolls that you heard all of us rave about earlier. The album's called Hold Me Up. It was their third album. And I guess you heard all three of us say it's one of the best albums ever. All the way through, it's just great. Great album, Hold Me Up by the Goo Goo Dolls. And this is the first song on the record. It's called Laughing. Until next time. TV.
be back.
Yeah, I remember I actually went and bought Gutterflower on the day it came out.
Yeah.